Thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Susan. Thank you all for being here tonight at New Hope Baptist Church. We are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, and tonight we'll be in verse 11, and let's go to verse 19. Next Sunday night, we will look at verses 20 through 25, and then we will have our business meeting since we had to postpone it, but we want to look at these verses tonight. 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. How many stories can we tell of people that have wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished? We could talk about Bernie Madoff tonight. We could talk about El Chapo tonight. We could talk about all kinds of gangster mafiosos. We could talk about all these different people tonight who have gained their wealth dishonestly. And what has that done for them? It has done absolutely nothing, because of it being gained by dishonest measures, it will be diminished. It will not last. In their cases, the government seized it. In many cases, kids fight over it. Family fights over it. But wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. There are always people trying to look ahead. They're always trying to get ahead. There's people trying to take measures to cut so that they can get money and be the next big thing. But you who labor, you who gather by labor, you will increase, is what Solomon says here in verse 11. This is somebody that labors. We are talking about Labor Day this weekend. And we talk about Labor Day to honor the American people who work. And many people don't even get a day off on Labor Day. They'll still have their stores open. They'll still be going strong tomorrow. But honest work, one step at a time, saving here, saving there, will always lead to honest increase. Honest increase. We're going to see later on in the Proverbs that it's glory for you grandparents that have saved up wealth for your grandkids, that you are a blessing to the Lord for doing that. And so when you think about that tonight, and you think about he who gathers by labor will increase, I thought about this. I thought about my first 2 weeks back in the classroom. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't do this for another 8 years before I can retire. But you know what? I'm going to keep on plugging on. Be it in the classroom, being in something in education, because I'd really like to see the fruits of my labor, not of my labor, but what the Lord has blessed me with, to have a retirement from the education system. I have family members that have not one dime to their name. They can't keep a steady job, won't keep a steady job, won't work when work is available. I have friends that are my age, willing jobs all around, help wanted signs everywhere, but they're too good to go do that job. Let me tell you something, folks. There's nothing wrong with a good hard day of labor. And when you labor the right way, he who gathers by labor will see increase. We'll see increase. We were adding a building on at our school when I was at Alba Golden, and we had two gentlemen that were contracted out to do the work. And these two gentlemen were former Alba Golden graduates by the name of Brad and Chad Lennon. They're twins. Brad Lennon is a deacon at Enon Baptist Church in the Alba community, and Chad is a deacon at First Baptist Church in the Alba community. And I have never in my life seen two men work harder for what they got. I can guarantee you when they go home at night, they sleep well because of how hard they've worked. Well, these two gentlemen had hired a guy that I knew. And we were talking, this guy and I were talking out on the job site that day. And as we were talking, Chad came up and I said, "Hey, I didn't know you hired so-and-so." And he said, "Do you know him?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Michael, I'm going to tell you something. He's pretty good at driving a dump truck, but he don't want none of that shovel in his hand." And I got to watch him when that old heat started bearing down. He liked to do a lot more leaning on that shovel than he did shoveling that dirt. And I got to see the other brother come in later, and he got tickled, and he said, "Hey, Michael," he said, "I hear that you know so-and-so that works for me and Chad." And I said, "I do." And he said, "How do you know him?" So I had to tell him the story. And he said the same thing. He said, "Chad told me he told you he's pretty good at driving a dump truck." I said, "Yeah." He said, "But he don't like any of that shovel." And that old boy that we're talking about, he has bounced from job to job to job to job. You here tonight who have labored and you have done it the right way, all you can do is praise God for the increase that has been brought to you. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. This is a waiting hope. It is a hope not so much on the return of the Lord, because that's an assurance. But this is a hope that may be deferred on human capabilities. For example, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A husband that longs for his wife to come back home. A wife that longs for her husband to be the man that God's created him to be in their marriage. When this type of hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. And the Hebrew means that it is always a continual disappointment. Disappointment. I counseled a young couple in a marriage situation that they had, and the poor old boy's heart just broke. And he was always yearning. I'm talking about yearning. "Well, she called me today. Brother Michael, she texted me today." And he was hanging all of his hope on this lady that didn't want anything else to do with him. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. It makes your heart disappointed. But listen to this. When the desire comes, praise God, it is a tree of life. A tree of life. I was not the best boyfriend to Jacqueline. And we split up. And the Lord had it where she was going to go to Texas A&M. And boy, my heart broke, because this old boy wasn't going anywhere. He liked too much of mom and daddy's being able to stay at their house and get free meals and work at Brookshire's and go to UT Tyler. And when Jacqueline told me that she was going to A&M, my heart sunk. And I thought that we'd never get back together again. And one night at Quitman Brookshire's on a Friday night, I'll never forget this, I was closing, Brother Wayne, back there in produce, stocking that cooler, getting it neat for the rest of the day for Saturday, when Brother Carl come in there to open it up. And lo and behold, walked in that back room of that Brookshire's in Quitman, Texas, was Jacqueline Girard. And my mouth dropped. I said, "What are you doing here?" And she says, "Do you got time to talk?" "Sweetie, I got all the time in the world." And praise God, He brought us back together, and He brought us back together. We were able to unite in marriage. The Lord has blessed us with four beautiful daughters. It has been a glorious 19 years of marriage, and I only give credit to that to the Lord. It's not because of me. It's not because of her. I have so many faults, and praise God, in His grace, He keeps us tonight. When the desire comes, isn't it a tree of life? A tree of life. He goes on here in verse 13, and Solomon says, "He who despises the word will be destroyed." This is somebody that the Hebrew word is booze. It means B-U-Z. It means to hold in contempt. It means to ridicule. People that ridicule the word of God, people that hold in contempt the word of God, that this is not true, that this is not what it says it is. Folks, this is the truth. And you and I need to stand for the truth tonight. He says that he who despises the word will be destroyed. There is eternal hell for the unbeliever. But praise God, he who fears the commandments, Miss Nelda, tonight, hallelujah, will be rewarded with eternal life in heaven. We'll see RC. We'll see our family members. But praise God, we will bow at the throne of Jesus. So when we see this tonight, there is this fear for the commandment. And we think about John 1:1. The Apostle John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." We're going to study this Wednesday night with Brother Schaefer. "And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God, and aren't you thankful for your Savior and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us the light of life that we have here tonight? He who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Verse 14, the law of the wise. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. And instead of a compare-contrast proverb here, we have one that simply adds on to what is being taught in verse 14. It says that the law of the wise turns one away from the snares of death. To be taught by a wise person is like a fountain of life. It is good to have wise people around you in your secular job. I have got many wise people around me on my secular job. How do you set up Google Classroom? Oh, come here, Michael, let me show you. How do you do Remind to the kids? Oh, come here, Michael, let me show you. How in the world do you keep eighth graders from talking while you're talking? Oh, Michael, there's no cure for that. You surround yourself on the secular job, you surround yourself with wise people, correct? And when you are in your friends, I have a lot of friends, and I've surrounded myself with some idiots, and I've surrounded myself with some very wise people that I consider friends. But I think the most important aspect of your life where you can surround yourself with wise people is to surround yourself spiritually with wise people. People that are going to lead you down the path of righteousness instead of the path of destruction. I'm so thankful for spiritual leaders in our church. Thankful for spiritual leaders in my home. Thankful for spiritual friends and brothers and sisters like you here at New Hope Baptist Church that I have to lean on, that I have to depend on, that I know that's praying for me. Folks, it is awesome to have the law of the wise because you spring up in me the fountain of life. And I hope that you can say that about somebody that you know as well here tonight. The law of the wise is the fountain of life. What does it do? It turns one away from the snares of death. The Hebrew language here would be much like an animal that is about to be caught in a fowler's trap or a snare trap, so to speak. And in that snare trap, what it's saying there is when you follow the wise, you're going to keep your paths away from the snares of death. When you walk with the wise, you're probably not going to be on the drug scene. When you walk with the wise, you're not going to be down at the bar. When you walk with the wise, you're not going to be out in the world doing the worldly things. When you walk with the wise, you're going to be following the commandments of God. So I would implore you tonight to surround yourself with spiritually wise people in Christ. It turns one away from the snares of death. Verse 15. Good understanding gains favor. The phrase here actually means a good name gains favor. A good name. You know somebody with a good name, and you say, hey, I know that person. They'd be great for this committee. Hey, I know that guy. I know his name. I know who he is. I know who that lady is. And I'm going to tell you what, they are salt of the earth. You get them on this committee. Good name is basically what that's saying there. Good understanding gains favor. Favor in the Hebrew simply means gains grace. Unmerited favor from God. This good name gains favor. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. Is hard. Way always, even in the New Testament, is always talking about the way you live. Your life. So the life of the unfaithful, unfaithful in the Hebrew means treacherous. Somebody that is deceitful, somebody that would really have made that list this morning that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 7, that would be me before the blood of Christ cleansed my soul of all unrighteousness. Can I get an amen tonight? And that would be me on there, that the way of the treacherous is hard. Now that hard in the Hebrew is important because it means like an ever-flowing river. These are people that do not change. You know who I'm talking about. I've got them in my family, and man, they can shoot the best line of bullets you that you've ever heard in your life. Oh, I've changed. Oh, I've done this. Oh, I've done that. And it won't be 2 minutes later, they've got something in the red Solo cup. It won't be 3 minutes later before they got to go outside and take a break and get themselves a little snort. It won't be 6 months later till you find them in the jail again because of their deviant ways. See, the way of the unfaithful is hard. These are people that will not change. And I don't care how much intervention a family puts together. I don't care how many times you send them to AA. I don't care how many times you send them to counseling. Until they come to a realization that they're lost and need Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they will never change. The only cure for people like that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The only cure. Boy, it just works me up when people say, oh, well, we can do this 12-step program here. And you know what? If we can send them to this doctor right here. And this doctor right here, he prescribes Adderall. And let me tell you about Adderall. It does such a glorious job on this person. And boy, they've got all these fixes that they want to give people. And I'm here to tell you tonight there's only one fix, and His name's Jesus Christ. When He saves you from the uttermost, and He brings you to the highest most here tonight. And my prayer is that you know Him tonight as your Lord and Savior. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. This is somebody. Prudence here is Aram. And it means shrewdness in a good sense. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. This means that they hear both sides of the story. Both sides of the story. I work for a boss. God bless him. If he heard one side of the story, he was lit like a rocket on the 4th of July. He exploded. And I mean, if he heard one side of the story, it was whoever got to him first. And if you got to him first, he believed you and he exploded on everybody else. But see, a prudent man acts with knowledge. A prudent man listens to Chicken Little that always is coming up. The sky's falling. The sky's falling. Everything's going to pot. You got to do something right now, Brother Michael. You've got to call a deacon's meeting. You've got to do something right now. The sky's falling. And then you're like, just chill out. Time out. Let me hear what's going on. Okay, you got a problem with this brother. You got a problem with this sister. Okay, let me go hear their side of the story. Oh, you just had that little miscommunication, that one word that was left out. That's an easy fix, guys. But listen, every prudent man acts with knowledge. I would encourage you tonight, don't always believe what you hear. I would encourage you as prudent people who get all the facts, to weigh the facts and discern what exactly is going on in each situation. And I'm here to tell you tonight, New Hope Baptist Church, there's not one situation that we may have that we can't resolve in the name of Jesus Christ. So every prudent man acts with knowledge, but here's what a fool does. A fool lays open his folly. The Hebrew tense here means this. It's like a peddler that goes and lays open everything that he is selling. Let me show you what all I've got. And he shows the whole world. So what are the thieves doing? Oh, he's got this. I'm going to jump him afterwards and take every bit of that. He, a fool, just lays open his folly. Let me show you what all I've got right here. And that's exactly what the fool does. It's like a peddler showing everyone what he is selling. Verse 17. A wicked messenger. And in the Hebrew here, this wicked messenger along the lines of a criminal has two attributes. In a study of one of the commentaries I was reading, the wicked messenger, number one, is very lazy. And the wicked messenger, number two, is very unreliable. The wicked messenger falls into trouble. Falls into trouble. I'm going to say something here that may not be very popular. As a matter of fact, it may make some people mad. But the American public got tired of being lied to on TV when COVID-19 broke out. The American public got sick and tired of being told a narrative that was absolutely a lie. And in this process, yes, COVID-19 is real. COVID-19 is deadly. COVID-19 is a work of the devil. But I am afraid that some of the people that are on our TV screen telling us things to do are also spawns of Satan themselves. And these wicked messengers who are lazy, unreliable, wicked criminals that fall into trouble, I can guarantee you that the American public said, no, we're not doing this anymore. You're talking to us about closing down church? We're not closing church down anymore. You're telling us that we can't come and worship God? No. We're going to stand up and we're going to praise the Lord and we're going to assemble into His house. And then they come on TV and they say, no, you can't go here. You can't do that. You got to wear a mask here. You got to wear a mask there. You got to take a shot here. You got to take a shot there. You got to do all these different things. And this is what's going to cure you of COVID-19. And the results have proven dastardly that the vaccine, nothing works because COVID continues to spread. And so we have people on our TV screen that have been paid and bought for by politicians and big pharma that are wicked messengers telling us things that you can trace the roots back when you research these frauds and see exactly what they've been up to in the past. And I would encourage you to do so. It got to a point when Anthony Fauci come on TV that nobody was listening anymore. People said, we're taking the mask off. People said, we're not social distancing. People said, we're going to go back to church. People said, we're going to go back to school. People said, we're going to continue on with our lives. Because you're trying to scare us with fear. But praise God, when you're a son or daughter of Christ, there is no fear because we have courage in Him. Does that mean that we're not to take precautions, wear a mask, socially distance? That is a personal belief that you have, and I respect that to the uttermost. But I'm going to tell you what, I get sick and tired of them telling me that I can't come to church. And I get sick and tired of them telling me that, oh, if your daughter has COVID, then you need to stay home from school and you need to quarantine another 14 days with your whole family. And that's what you need to do because I'm telling you that's what you need to do. I have a problem with that when they can have a birthday bash for a former president of over 600 people and not one of them wear a mask while they're dancing. I have a problem with that, guys. I have a problem when Anthony Fauci gets on TV and tells us, well, there's another strain, there's another strain, there's another strain. The vaccine may not protect you against it. I have problems with these things. And these wicked messengers fall into trouble. I'll never forget in a liberal democratic city like Milwaukee, Wisconsin, when the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA World Championship and 70,000 people were in the streets of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Mike Breen said, look at this championship celebration. He said on national TV on a liberal station called ABC, he said, I bet Dr. Fauci is not too happy about this. You think? Watch Georgia and Clemson last night, a stadium packed full to watch a football game, and people were out enjoying themselves. You think he was happy about that? No. You want to know why? Because wicked messengers want to control the very narrative of what you and I live by. And praise God, there is freedom in Jesus Christ, and that is who I stand for here tonight, not these so-called wicked messengers that are just bringing us into trouble. A faithful ambassador, praise God, brings health. A faithful ambassador brings health. This is somebody that is a reliable messenger. This is somebody that contributes. This is somebody that when you hear them talk, they make sense. When you hear them talk, you understand what they're saying. When you hear them talk, they are somebody that brings health to your bones. Health to your bones. Not by medicine that they peddle, but by the good news that they share. An ambassador is to always share good news. And you and I in here tonight are called to be about the King's business. That old hymnal that we used to sing. All of us in here are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. He's talking to you and me. He says, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is what we go and share. The good news of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. Why? For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Wow. Have you ever thought about that deeply? All the sin, all the filth, all the wretchedness that I have done in my life, that I do now in the present, that I'm going to do in the future because I'm fallen. Christ paid that debt at the cross. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be accounted righteousness in front of the Holy Father God. And the only way we can is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the ambassador that we've been called to be. To go and share the good news. The good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. There are two attributes here that come to this person who hates moral discipline and hates, may even be, physical correction. Poverty and shame. Man, I tell you what, this has been really new to me teaching in a classroom. And these kids are really unique. And they're funny, you know. And I got a couple of them, and I know the cure. The cure is if the mom and daddy would have whooped them when they were little, they'd be just fine. But they've never had that discipline before. And so for us trying to instill it now, and God love them, they come up with all these different plans of where we're going to be family groups, and I'm going to be the daddy of 12 of them. I can't be a daddy to 12 of them for 50 minutes a day. It just won't work. And if they really let me be a daddy to them for 50 minutes a day, and I did like my daddy did me, there would be a lot of this belt coming off this britches right here. So I want to tell you, when you think about this, people that hate moral discipline, people that hate correction, they hate it. They hate it. It is going to result in two things. It's going to result, number one, in poverty. They're never going to have anything. And the second thing that it's going to result is in shame. People are going to be ashamed of them, and they are going to be ashamed of who they are because they never have anything. They never have one iota of anything in life because they have hated what the parents, the school system, the justice system has tried to instill in them. They've hated that correction. Therefore, they fall into poverty. Therefore, they fall into shame. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Took me a long time to get this one, guys. Can I get amen? Took me a long time to get this one. He who regards, that means that he understands correction. He understands reasoning. He understands why you're doing this. He understands those things. He who regards a rebuke will be honored. Will be honored. Okay? I'm thankful. I wasn't at the time, but I'm thankful that I had a dad that rebuked me because he loved me. At the time that he was doing it, I was like, oh, I hated it. But then when I got older, I understood this. He who regards a rebuke will be honored. Yesterday, our air conditioning, I don't know what's been up with it. I've changed the filters out. I've gone out there and looked on YouTube and sprayed the coils and blowed them off. Still not cooling very good, so I went up in the attic and about died. But I got up there, and man, it was hot. And I went, and the girls was like, Daddy, what's up there? And I was like, well, we got this. Daddy, can you bring that down? Okay. Daddy, can... And so all of a sudden, I've got all this stuff I'm bringing down, and I've got these Halloween jack-o'-lantern baskets to carry candy in. And it's getting close. It's a couple months, you know, 2 months away. And Abby and Macy's out in the garage with me, and we're outside, and they're playing trick-or-treat. And they'll come up to me, and they'll knock, you know, Daddy, trick-or-treat. And, you know, I'll put a little something in their deal. Well, Macy took it on herself, and, you know, sometimes I'm just in a zone, right? You're in a zone. And Macy comes up to me, and she says, "Daddy, I'm going in the house, and I'm getting all the candy and all the snacks, and I'm going to bring them out here, Daddy, and I'm going to put them in this basket." And she's explaining it all to me. And I'm like, "Okay, baby, that sounds good." You know, I wasn't thinking, man. I was just out there not thinking at all. So she goes in the house and she gets everything out of the pantry. I mean, everything. She's crushing their snacks for lunch. She's crushing the chips. And she brings them out in the garage. And I go, "What are you doing?" I'm out. I yelled. And boy, she started crying. And she went in there and she put the snacks back in. And she told Jacqueline, it just broke my heart. I got in from Brother R.C.'s funeral. And Jacqueline was asking about Miss Kathy and Ashley and the family and asking how everything went. And I couldn't. I was trying not to cry because of that trucker down there on in front of the Dollar General. I just thought that was such an amazing tribute. I was trying to explain that to her without crying. I went in there and I got changed. I went outside, piddled around, and I come back in the house. And Jacqueline told me, she said, "Macy told me that today was the worst day ever." And I was like, "Why? Was she upset about Brother R.C. and Graceland?" And she was like, "Yeah, she's upset about that, but she's upset that you yelled at her." That hit to the heart. Hit to the heart. So I went in later on that evening and I talked to her. I said, "Baby, you understand why I got on to you?" Of course, then by that time, "Yeah, Daddy, I understand." You know, she blew it off. But it hurt me. When we rebuke, there is a way to rebuke. And when you yell and demean, and man, I can be the world's worst, it is better to sit down. And that Hebrew word means regarding a rebuke. It means to reason with them with correction. Reason with them with correction. So dads, granddads, moms, grandmas, I learned something. I need to be a better daddy. I need to handle things a little bit differently. And so when I look at that, he who regards a rebuke will be honored. And I really believe with all my heart, when we get out there in the garage playing trick or treat again, Macy's not going to go in there and get all that candy because she understands. But I would encourage you, think about a rebuke, and you who regard that, your name will be honored. And what a blessing that is. Verse 19. This goes all the way back to verse 12. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So there is one commentator said there is satisfaction when a dream, when a hope, when a desire is accomplished. It is like honey to the soul. I think about dreams that I have. I think about desires that I have to have. I think about accomplishments that I would like to see. I believe the Lord spoke to New Hope Baptist Church last Sunday when you gave what you did. I can just envision things begin to happen. I can envision this baptistry being full every Sunday. Can I get an amen? I can envision people being saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? I can envision young couples with kids coming to this church. I can envision people that are older that have been out of church for years coming back to the Lord. I can envision so many great things. And when that desire is accomplished, it is sweet to the soul. Sweet to the soul. But look at this. Here's the compare and contrast. But it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. A fool's always going to run straight to evil. Straight to evil. And man, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. We've got a lot of fools. One, in Anna, and pray for Anna in this ministry that she would like to... I'm not saying y'all are fools. I'm fixing to praise you here tonight. Juan and Anna gave me this deal about the grassroots campaign that they're involved in. And Anna is going to have a night to educate us, one week night up here at the Fellowship Hall, to educate us about not necessarily politics, but things that are going on. But Juan handed me this Wednesday night, and I read through it. And It's amazing the things that we're being lied to about. It's amazing to me the things that we're being lied to about. We have people that have been placed in office that are fools, continually departing to evil, and all they doing is spreading that evil to you and me. You don't believe it? Listen to this tonight. The United States Department of Homeland Security held microaggression trainings that claimed individualism, the Protestant work ethic, capitalism, monotheism, the belief of one God, the written tradition, and believing that the most qualified person should get the job are racist attributes. Racist attributes. Boy, I got fired up this week in class. I had them in group work, and I got a picture of my granddaddy over there when he served in the Korean War, and it's a picture of him and his fatigues, and he's standing there, and I've got it set up with a little thing I've got for Sam in my classroom, and there was this kid. He said, "Sam White, what a racist name." And I come over to him, and I got nose to nose, and I said, "Let me tell you something about Sam White. Sam Alvin White did more for this Quitman community than you ever have. And Sam White did things for white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people. It didn't matter the color of their skin. Sam White did it for the glory of God." And that little kid just looked at me. But it fired me up. Somebody, because they had the last name White, now they're considered to be a racist. But that's what's being taught to our kids. And it's been taught, and man, they've got a great handout here on the critical race theory language. We need to make a copy of this one for our whole church to see. This is the language that's getting pushed in our school system, and you need to be aware of these words. You need to be aware of these words that your grandkids, that your kids are not being taught this junk in the public school system. You need to demand that this not be taught in our public schools. And it starts with us. Listen to this. Walt Disney. We love Disney. We love Disney. But listen to this. Walt Disney's corporation diversity training forces employees to reckon with systemic racism and white privilege, going so far as to segregate employees into affinity groups. They are separated by race and attended by white corporate leaders known as executive champions. Disney's program, Reimagine Tomorrow, has immersed the company in divisive, politicized conflict by targeting white employees and demonizing classic films. Listen to this. They are now considering Dumbo, about the elephant, and Aladdin. They're calling those films racist. But this is what we're getting. This is what we're getting. California is voting on a new ethics study curriculum that advocates for decolonizing America by celebrating Aztec culture and left-wing ideology, claiming that Christianity killed the gods of indigenous people. The curriculum's goal is to establish a new regime of counter-genocide and counter-homogeny, ridding America, listen to this, of white Christian culture. Primary and secondary students are made to clap and chant to Aztec gods of cannibalism.